Perek Dal Pasuk Yudal. I just want to add one more thing from Pasuk Yud Gimel. Rav Shlomo Alkabitz makes a deal from the Pasuk. Mordechai told Esther, Al Tadami B'Nafshek loosely translates as don't entertain the thoughts. You know, very loose, very loosely. Al Tadami B'Nafshek is don't create an illusion with your nefesh that you're going to escape. You know, the other Jews are in danger. You're in danger. You're just as likely to fall as they are. Al Tadami B'Nafshek, don't cast the illusion. Rav Shlomo Alkabitz notes the word nefesh. You know, illusions are usually in the mind, not in the nefesh. Mordechai was being meramis to her. Al Tadami B'Nafshek, he said, Esther, you might be right. You might be right. The entire Jewish nation will, Rachman al-Islam, be wiped out, and you won't. Because the king doesn't know you're Jewish. Esther didn't have a Jewish nose. He doesn't know you're Jewish. And your body is going to survive the carnage. It will survive the destruction. He said, but that's not important. Because your nefesh won't survive. Al Tadami B'Nafshek is don't think that you're going to escape with your nefesh intact. Your body, granted, perhaps, shall survive. That's just physical. Al Tadami B'Nafshek is she's going to lose her soul because of it. Pasuk Yudal.
Here it makes perfect sense to say HaMelech is HaShem.
Okay. Who's HaMelech?
You don't escape HaShem. HaShem is going to call the Jews. We said that a little bit before. I just didn't realize.
Al Tadam Ben Menafshe. So you're saying, Al Tadam Ben Menafshe, because don't think that you're going to save your soul in the house of HaShem, because your soul will not be in the house of HaShem.
Or even saying you'll live, because HaShem's the one that's making the decree, not HaShem.
Very good. You're good at that, you know. You have these little gems. Pasuk Yudal. Ki macharesh takarishi. If you're silent. Why does it say it twice? If you're silent. Ba'es azos. This time. Revach. Revach means, literally means broad open spaces. Maybe it means here escape. Revach. Revach, relief, Vatsala, and salvation. Ya'amayla Yehudim will stand for the Jews, will arise for the Jews. Mimakamachir, from another place, elsewhere. Viat, and you, Ubeis Avich, in your father's house, Tevedu, will be destroyed. And who knows? Im la'es kazois, if for this time he got Lamalchus, you arrived in the palace of the king. So Esther, you know, he doesn't want Esther to entertain thoughts that the entire Jewish nation, they're in danger, and she's not. Mordechai is enlightening her that the only one that's in danger now is her. Mordechai does that. He gives the true picture of things. The Jewish people are going to survive. It's just a question of how. If she's the one, if she's the shliach, she'll survive with them. If not, she'll be destroyed, her whole house will be destroyed, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an alternate plan. The Targum says, how did Mordechai know this? How is he so sure? The Targum says, Mordechai knew this because of the schus avos. Klal Yisrael, the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv, they're going to go on. They're going to survive. Hashem's going to save them.
Basically, the Jews will never be destroyed,
but on occasion, throughout our rich history, Hashem really saved us by threatening us with extinction. And the threat's real. it's to the credit of the Jewish people that when we're threatened with extinction, we know what Hashem wants from us. Like, we know how to respond. And that's why we'll never be destroyed. We're never destroyed because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is committed to evoke the proper response from us. And because we're the children of the Avos, then within each and every one of us is a kernel of truth, however deeply buried, which comes out when you're faced with utter destruction. Yes, that's a 1-2 punch. You know, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is willing to level a decree against us that we're going to be exterminated, and if a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that within us is something that recognizes that and doesn't want to be exterminated, so then we're not going to be exterminated.
So we can change Hashem's word
by our actions? I didn't say that.
So how is it that... Well, Hashem said we're never going to be destroyed, right?
Yeah, but it's not like a promise which Hashem is going to keep regardless of what we do. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu is committed. You ever heard the story?
So I was saying that we could change... Hashem said something, right? The Jews will never be destroyed. So therefore, if we would all, every single one in Klal Yisrael would act like a bunch of whatever.
Non-Jews, right. There's non-Jewish nations that have been totally destroyed.
Yeah, but they weren't told that they're not going to be destroyed.
Right, and that's why they were destroyed. It's because they didn't know what Hashem wanted from them. They didn't see it, or they were too stubborn to admit it. In this area, we're not stubborn. Because, okay, you know, Klal Yisrael, if they go off the Derech HaYasher, it's because of external factors. And when you're faced with death or termination, then those external factors don't seem so important anymore. If somebody is evil, that means they want to do evil. And they can't be separated from evil, then you could threaten them with anything. They can't separate from it. There's a Gemara that there was a time of Avdi Avodah Zarah, when there was a taiva for Avodah Zarah, and there was a young child that was hugging his Avodah Zarah, and he was dying. It was like a plague that was brought out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon Avdi Avodah Zarah, and there was a child that was dying. Eliyahu HaNavi appeared to the child, and he said, if you let go of the Avodah Zarah, I'll save you. And the child hugged onto his Avodah Zarah, and he died. That means the evil penetrated the core. They're not going to give up the Avodah Zarah to save their lives, because to them, life without Avodah Zarah is not life. There's no point. But Klal Yisrael is not like that. So Mordechai knew.
That was a non-Jewish child?
A what?
The story anymore. That was a non-Jewish
I think it was
child?
A Jewish child. But that was in the time when there was a taiva for Avodah Zarah. And then, you know, the more a person does Avodah Zarah, then it goes from the external to the internal. There are people in Klal Yisrael even that they were rotten to the core, but they did that to themselves. And since Klal Yisrael as a whole is descendants of Rav Yitzchak and Yankov, then Klal Yisrael as a whole will not be exterminated. But there are going to be people that don't have a chelek le'olam hava, ever, even from Klal Yisrael.
Klal Yisrael yesh lehem chelek le'olam hava.
Okay. And then the next statement is Elish Ein Lahem Chelek Le'olam Haba.
Which one?
There are those that don't have a Chelek Le'olam Haba. So you have to work that out.
What does that mean though?
There's those that don't have a Chelek Le'olam Haba.
Is Yashke going to be Zocha to Olam Haba?
What?
He's not listed among the ones that don't have a Chelek Le'olam Haba. Okay.
You want to see him
now? No, I want to know. It's a random question.
So the first thing we have to understand is, you know, what is this double lashon? And Mordechai starts out, the pasuk starts out with, "Ki machareish takarishi." If you're silent, you're silent. Say it once. Why do you have to say it twice? Why does the pasuk have to say, "If you're silent, you're silent"? The Medrash says that's referring to two times. He said, "If you're silent now, if you hold in your words now, if you keep your peace and you don't go to Achashverosh to beg him for the lives of the Jewish people." So then, La'asad Lavai, in Olam Haba, you're going to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in judgment, and he's going to ask you why you were silent, and you're not going to have what to say. That's the Medrash. So that's the double Lashon. If you're silent now, you're going to be silent then. The pasuk says the pasuk seems to put emphasis on Ba'is Hazos. If you're silent in this time. The important thing is if you're silent, why does Mordechai have to stress that? If you're silent in this time. We're going to add to that a question from the Yalkut Me'am Leyes. Yalkut Me'am Leyes. So it's like, why does Mordechai stress if he's silent in this time? Be'ez hazois. Just say if you're silent. What's the crime? The crime is being silent, or the crime is being silent in this time? So there's obviously something about being silent at this time. Silence might not be a problem in another time, but silence in this time.
Or in the past, is a problem. Right?
Yeah. Right, you know what I mean? But there's something about this moment. The Alkamiram Leyes says, why was Mordechai in such a rush? He had 11 months. A master of strategy would, you know, he would hold a caucus to determine, you know, to decide, you know, what the best way is of doing things and look for an opportunity. You know, when you want to talk to somebody, you want to talk somebody out of something that he wants to do or talk him into something that he doesn't want to do, then you look for the opportunity at the prime moment. And Mordechai wasn't looking for that. Mordechai said it has to be immediate, it has to be right now. No looking, just go. And that's just saying it's not the right time, it's a better time. Go, you have to go now. So there was something about this time. Something about this time, it was integral to the Hatzal of Klal Yisrael. It had to be now. It's now or never. Why is it now or never? The Yalkut Me'am Leyes said because this was Nisan. Yud Gimel Nisan. It was Pesach. There's a well-known fundamental concept about time. That time is a circle. Nisan is known as the Chodesh HaGeula. It's the month of redemption. It's not known as the month of redemption because we were redeemed from Egypt in Nisan. It's the other way around. We were redeemed from Egypt in Nisan because the Kadosh Baruch Hu created Nisan. The Nisan is the month to be redeemed. There's times that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created from Shesh Shemei Breishis that there are times of happiness. There are times of sadness. And the sad things happen on those days. And we see this from the Midrashim and Megillas Esther, Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a sad day, even before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It happened twice on the same day. First Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. Because Tisha B'Av is the day when sad things happen. And Nisan is the time for Geula. I mean, the Brisk HaRav, Reb Yitzchok Zev Soloveitchik, he explains how Avraham Avinu could keep Pesach before Pesach. You know, to put on tefillin before Hashem commanded it, you want to do something meritorious, you want to do a mitzvah before it was given. But to keep a holiday that commemorates something that didn't happen yet, so that's a little bit out of our range. Like, well, you know, how do you understand that? And he answers it, that the celebration of Pesach is not commemorating the Jews coming out of Egypt. Avram celebrated Pesach because Pesach predates Pesach. Sorry about that one. Pesach predates Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the time of Geula. And any enslavement that we find ourselves under, that's the time when we get free. So he was celebrating freedom, Geula. Mordechai said, if the Gzeira, if the letters that Haman sent out were in Nisan, it's not an accident. It must be that the Hatzalah has to be now. It's Pesach, right away. It's got to be now. And it doesn't matter, you know, Esther, you want to be the one to do it? You're going to do it. If you're not going to be the one to do it, someone else is going to do it, but it's going to be now. And if you're going to insist, he's telling us, if you're going to insist that you're going to be the shliach, but you're going to do it in Eor, that's not going to happen. Hashem is not giving you, Esther, that opportunity. If you're going to push it off to Eor, it's going to happen in Nisan anyway, because it has to happen in Nisan, and you are going to blow it big time. Big time. So that's what it means. Im hachareish takarishi, if you, Esther, are silent, be'ez hazos, in this time, revach v'hatzalah, we will be saved in Nisan, but you'll be destroyed. The commentary of Reb Shlomo Alkabitz, he adds to this. Adkan, the words of the Yalkut Me'am Leitz. Reb Shlomo Alkabitz adds this because it says at the end of the Pasuk, the words La'es Kazais again. Mordechai says, U'miyadeya. And who knows? Im La'es Kazais, for this time, he got Lamalkus, you arrived in the palace. Reb Shlomo Alkabitz explains that he was providing basis for this to Esther. And he's saying, you see the hashgacha, that normally it takes a long time to rise to the position of queen, to attain godless, to attain greatness, is a process, and processes take time. And Esther, she wrote, it was like an immediate, meteoric rise. La'es kazais, it was mamish, she became a queen immediately. As soon as he saw her, he didn't bother seeing any other women. He sent them home. She's the one. Put a keser malchus b'raisha. She was automatically elevated. And Mordechai says, you know why it happened so fast, Esther? Because you have to be the queen of Nisan. And in order for you to be the queen of Nisan, it's got to happen fast. So it's a raya. If Hashem rushed things up, la'es kazais, he rushed things up. Because you have to be the queen in these sons, and you can't wait until E or Sivan or Thomas. It was, what? You know what, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So what the Shlomo Alkabitz means is that she became a queen very quickly. So it's a sign that things are lamala mederek hateva. It's not referring to Pesach. I'm sorry. That's because you're right. I take that back. Shkayach. Atu beis avich tevedi. You and your father's house are going to get wiped out. Now that's strange. She doesn't go to Akash Verish, her father's household is going to be wiped out. He shouldn't have a father.
Mordechai,
that's pretty painful.
It's a good way to get her motivated. I'm going to die if you don't.
Yeah. He said all the Jews are going to live except for her and her father's house. We said before, the Megillah Starim, Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, said before that what Mordechai and Esther were involved with, their participation here, is a kapara for the great-great-great-great-grandfather, Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech didn't act speedily. He didn't act swiftly. He delayed. He's supposed to kill Agag now. He didn't kill Agag now. He let him stay overnight, and because of that, all of Klal Yisrael's in danger. His delay.
His issue was that he left the other thing.
There were two things. There was leaving the animals, and there was leaving Agag.
Well,
Haman was a direct result of him leaving Agag.
Who's Agag?
Agag was Haman's grandfather.
He was supposed to kill Agag?
Shaul HaMelech was supposed to, hundreds of years before he was supposed to kill Agag.
Why?
Because Agag was the king of Amalek.
Really? And then Agag
had children.
It was one night?
Yes. How long does it take? I mean, he didn't live to see the children.
You're saying he wasn't in jail or anything?
He was in jail.
How did he pull that off?
They smuggled someone in. Amalek survives.
Oh, to keep Amalek alive, that was the
point? Yes. He was the last living member of Amalek.
They got lucky that they had a boy.
They didn't get lucky. That's how Amalek survives. If Klal Yisrael lacks the determination to wipe out Amalek, then they survive.
They still alive?
Amalek, yeah.
For sure?
They're very much alive. They're right here next to us.
Yetzirah?
Yeah, it's a form of Yetzirah. So what they're doing is a kapara. And really, Shaul's line should have died out. For failing to kill Agag, Shaul's line should have died out. The reason why they didn't die out, we said, was due to a Rachmanis, compassion of David HaMelech. The David HaMelech had Rachmanis on Mordechai and Esther's grandfather and Shimei ben Gera. But the reason why Mordechai and Esther were zeicha to be born is because Hashem was giving the line of Shaul a chance to be misakin to fix up what Shaul did. Shaul didn't kill out Agag. Shaul didn't act with zrizus, with alacrity, to kill out Agag. So HaKadosh Baruch is giving Shaul's family a second chance. Mordechai and Esther are the second chance. They have to act against Agag, or Agag's descendant, Haman. If they do so, then they redeem Shaul. If they don't do so, so retroactively, Shaul's never supposed to have produced generations. So Megillas Tamid said, that's it. He said, if you do it, you redeem our family, and then Shaul HaMelech gets a kapara for his avera. And then our family goes on.
There's a concept of doing kapara for your family members?
Yeah, grandparent, of course. There's a halacha that a child within the first year after a parent passes, anytime they mention the parent's name, they're supposed to say, Hareini kaparas mishkava. I am an atonement for his, for him after death.
Does that only be a parent, or could it be
it's a parent?
Grandfather.
It's a parent.
Could you look into their, let's say, some bad deed that you know that they did?
Look into it. There's no reason to look into it if you know about it. So, because the child is the parent. The parent produces the child. He's from the parent. His body comes from the parent. He's the parent. So that was Esther and Mordechai's accomplishment. So if she doesn't do it, so Klal Yisrael is going to get saved. But if they don't get saved by a descendant of Shaul HaMelech, then Klal Yisrael is going to live on, and any descendant of Shaul HaMelech is going to die, including Mordechai. Including Mordechai. The Rekeach has a remez in this pasuk. The Mordechai is informing, is letting her know, he's informing her that this is a gzera min hashamayim. When something bad comes to the Jewish people, there's two sources. It can be because of the bechira of Rishayim. Hashem gives Rishayim free choice, and they choose to exercise it to cause pain to the Jews, so then it's not necessarily a gzera min hashamayim. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu allowing Rishayim to exercise their free will. And then there's evil designs of Rishayim that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives his haskama to. He gives his approbation to. And Mordechai is being meramis to Esther that this one has a Kadosh Baruch Hu stamp of approval. We said that you approach it differently. He has a remez from the end of four words. If you take the last word in Pasuk Yud Beis, it's HaYehudim, and you add to it the first three words of Pasuk Yud Dal, which is Ki Im HaKaresh. So HaYehudim is a Mem Sofis, Ki is a Yud, Im is another Mem Sofis, and HaKaresh is a Shin. So it's Mem Yud Mem Shin, which is the word Shemayim backwards. The word Shemayim backwards. Ayhudim ki'im hacharesh. That's Shemayim backwards. So it's a remez that the Gzeir is min Shemayim. Look, some Sefer. Some Sefer on this pasuk takes note of the words Revach v'Hatzala. Even if Esther doesn't perform that which is incumbent on her, Revach v'Hatzala, there's going to be relief and there's going to be salvation. The word Reva pops up earlier in the Torah. Chasam Sefer. The word Reva pops up earlier in the Torah. When Yaakov Avinu encounters Esav, so he sets up two camps. He splits everybody into two camps. And he places them 3 days apart. And he leaves instructions, V'revach tasimu ben eder le'eder. V'revach vavresh vavches tasimu Taf Sin Yud Mem Vav Bain Beis Yud Nun Eder La Eder Ayin Dald Resh. So you should put a space between the two of the flocks. Eder is a flock. Put a space, make a gulf between the flocks. 3 days, because if Esav attacks one, so even if Chas V'Shalom is successful in overcoming the defenses of one, but the other one's going to be 3 days away, and they'll run away. So you see the word here, Revach. Mordechai said Klal Yisrael is going to have Revach, And Yaakov Avinu was preparing for Revach. Like some Sefer says that, what?
Revach Bina
what? Eder le'eder. Ayin da'od reish. Some Sefer says that when Yaakov used that word back then in his encounter with Esav, he saw what was going to be in the future. He saw it. He was being meramis. This is the first encounter with Esav, but there's going to be a coming time, and I'm going to do Revach now, and there's going to be a time when we're going to need Revach. And you know, the Kiyadua, it's a well-known Yisrael called Maisa Avasim Labanim, that whatever Klal Yisrael went through, the Avas went through it before, and they made it out, and because they went through it and made it out, so then they implanted with us the ability to go through it and make it out. It's not just symbolic. He went through it. It's a kayak, yeah, you pass it on to your children. He gives us the kayaks to make it out. Like we discussed before, what was our kayak in getting out? Our kayak in getting out is that we're not stupid. And when we're faced with extermination, we don't hold on to the things that don't really matter. That's the difference between Jews and Goyim. Whatever attachments we make to things, you know, non-productive or self-destructive behavior, we let it go when we finally see the emes. So that's something which the others, you know, when you encounter Esav, you're threatened with destruction, and you got to come out alive, and you get revach. So the remes is there. And the Yekeach says the Yanku Avinu davened to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He did three things. He bribed Esav, he girded himself for war, and he davened. And his tefillah was Hatzileni na miyad achi, save me please, or save me now from the hands of my brother. Hatzileni na miyad, the Rashi Tevis is Hey Nun Mem. Hatzileni na miyad. If you rearrange those, that's Haman. So Yaakov Avinu was davening to be saved from Esav and from Esav's Einikel, from Haman. Eder, Flak, Ayin Dald Reish is Begematria 274, which is the same Gematria as Mordechai. It's easy, it's an easy Gematria. Mordechai Mem is 40, Reish is 200, 240. Flak.
Eder is Gematria.
274, which is Mordechai. So he made a Revach Ben Eder later, because the Revach, the relief to Klal Yisrael, Yaakov Yisrael is going to come out through Mordechai. And we said, who does the Yeshua come about because of? who was the one?
Mordechai.
David HaMelech and Mordechai. Mordechai was Ishihudi Ishimini. Mordechai was Ishihudi Ishimini. According to some versions, he was a descendant of Yehuda, and he was a descendant of Binyamin. We explained previously that you needed both. We said you needed Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. We discussed this ages ago. And Mordechai was a descendant of Rachel, and he was a descendant of Leah. He was a descendant of Leah through Yehuda, and he was a descendant of Rachel through Binyamin. And the gematria of Rachel and Leah is 274. Weiter. Revach Vatzala, the art school translates it as relief and salvation. The Chassam Sefer has a kasha. He said, what's the double expression of relief and salvation? If you're saved, then you have relief. Isn't it relieving to be saved? Like, why do you have to say relief and salvation? So he doesn't translate Revach as relief. Revach doesn't mean relief. Revach means vistas, wide open spaces. Revach is room, like elbow room. Revach means expansiveness. So the tzala is that they were saved. But that's not all the Kadosh Baruch Hu did. The pasuk says after they were saved, it says La'yuda ma'isa ayra v'simcha v'sasam v'ikar, that they weren't just saved. It wasn't just that the danger was removed. They grew and they prospered. When we get to that pasuk, we'll talk about exactly how they prospered. And it says that Mordechai was gadol. Mordechai expanded. His stature expanded. So the Chassam Sefer says that Revach Hatzalah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu not only saved us, but he made us bigger than we were before.
Why is Revach first?
Good question.
What is it? What do we say? Yud Ma'aseh Ayra means that they...
That they expanded. Klal Yisrael was uplifted. Aaron, good question. I don't know the answer. Pasuk Tezvav. But Timer Esther Lahashiva Mordechai. So Esther said to respond to Mordechai. Big pasuk. The Targum on this pasuk says, who'd she say it to? Targum goes to Shitasai, that Hasak was dead. Hasak got dead. Hasak was Daniel. So it was to Michal and Gavriel. The Targum says, she told Gavriel and Michal the Hashav of Mordechai to respond to Mordechai. The Rekech says, you take a look at the last three words of this pasuk, Lahashav of Mordechai, and you take the first two words of the next pasuk, Lech Kenais. And what do you get? Lahashav Amordechai. Now, Lahashav Amordechai Lech Kenais. Take the first letter of those five words. Lahashav is Lamed. El is Aleph. Mordechai is Mem. Lech is Lamed. Kenais is Kaf. It's Malach.
Wait, will you take this Rekeach?
This is Rekeach, of course. Lahashav Amordechai Lech Kenais.
So wait, who is? How does it spell Malach? I'm sorry.
Lahashav El Mordechai Lech Kenais.
What about
Elf?
Where's two
Elf? The Aleph. Malach.
Alright, so wait. So where's the... I don't see where's the Malach.
El Mordechai Lechnos. Le Malach. Le Malach. Because she talked to the Malach. Le Malach. It's not Malach. It's Le Malach.
And where's the last off?
It's not in order. Lahashiv. El Mordechai Lechnos. Kenos.
If it doesn't work, just add a letter.
The first letters of each one.
What? You could do that with a Lala.
You could be turned into a frog for that. Okay? It's Malach, Le Malach.
I can find my name in those words also.
The rabbis, if the last time was the first time,
it's you know, Yoni, you're very consistent with your questions. You go right in there. And the answer is, I don't know. It could be it's not there for a reason, and over here it's there. It could be that it's there and we don't know how it's there. It could be there in another way. I don't know. So the Rav Shlaima Alkibitz translates the word Lahashiv differently. Like we translate the word Lahashiv like Hashavas Aveda. Hashava means to return, to respond. But Rav Shlaima Alkibitz says the word Lahashiv is he uses the Sherish Shabbos. Yeah, Lahashiv also means to rest. It could Lahashav could be from the word Shabbos or from the word Hashav v'Saveda.
So what was she saying?
She was calming him down. Mordechai was angry. So she told Michal and Gavriel to calm Mordechai down because she's gonna do it Mordechai's way. No, she's gonna do it Mordechai's way. You'll see. She's gonna do it. She's gonna do it Mordechai's way. She's gonna calm down. She's calming down Mordechai. The Hashava and Shabbos are related because the reason why we're calm on Shabbos, why we're at rest on Shabbos, is because on Shabbos is when we return to ourselves. During the week, we're not ourselves.
That's because God rests.
During the week, we're not ourselves?
Yes, that's true. During the week, we're not ourselves. During the week, we're doing all kinds of things that are not ourselves. We're strangers to ourselves. On Shabbos, we're mamish in Olam Haba. Shabbos is in Olam Haba. That's a true picture of a yid. Yeah, the picture that we, the role that we play in this world is not ourselves. It's a necessary evil that we have to do. Shabbos is when we come back. You know, that's when we come back to ourselves. So Shabbos and Hashav are related. So you have the two pshatim. Pasuk to Zayin. Leich kenais is kol Yehudim. So she's telling Mordechai. She's giving him instructions. You know, you see that Esther, she voiced her objections. She did. She had a shita. She had a mahalach. And she thought she was right. But once Mordechai passed and she's wrong, so now she's like a freight train. She's not doing this half-heartedly. Like Kenesis Kol Yehudim, go and gather all the Jews. And then to Imbishushan, that are to be found in Shushan, but Sumo Alai, fast over me. Val Taichlu, don't eat. Al Tishtu, don't drink. Shleishis Yamim, 3 days Lailo V'yam. This is a very strict fast. They're fast, you know, those of you that learn Gemara Tainis, they're fast, they eat at nighttime. Don't eat, don't drink, night, day and night. Gama Niva Naroisai, also I and my maidens, her maidens were Tzedekises, we know that. Her maidens were Tzidkanias. Atzum Kain, we will fast, Kain, we will fast, so. And with so, Avay Al HaMelech, I'm going to come to the king. Ashlei Kadosh, it's not the law. Kasher avadati avadati. As I'm lost, I'll be lost. You see, you have a lot of things in this pasuk. Rashi says, Ashalot kadosh, it's not the law for me to come to the king, because Persian law doesn't allow me to come if I'm not summoned. Rashi brings a medrash. It's not according to Torah law either, because Torah law doesn't allow her to go willingly to Achashverosh. He's telling her to do something which is against the law. That doesn't make it. I know that. It's still against the law. He's telling her that she's obligated to go against the law. It doesn't change the law. It's the right thing to do. In this case, it's the right to do the wrong thing. To go to a Russia willingly can never be right. But she has to do it. Rakashe avadati avadati. So Rashi says, that why is it a double lashon? Because she says, I see that I'm going down. So it's a double expression. I'm going down, or I'm going to go down even further.
She's going down in one way.
She's going down. she has to break herself by going to Achashverosh willingly. And she said, I'm probably going to die. She's probably going to die. In the end, she's going to die.
If she thinks that, then why would she do it?
She has no choice.
The way that they would be saved.
She has no... Klai Yisrael will be saved.
How would Klai Yisrael be saved if she dies?
She doesn't know.
She tries. She does her best.
What do you mean? If she's going in there dying, then obviously Klai Yisrael wouldn't... What about her dying saved Klai Yisrael?
Well, we're never going to find that out because she didn't die. You see this?
Why would she even have the avodah that she's going to die, and she still goes through with it because she thinks that'll save Klal Yisrael?
Nachshon ben Aminadav went into the Yam Suf, it went up to his nostrils. He thought he was going to die, and then it split. And when he went in there, he didn't think it was going to split.
Why did he go in?
Because Hashem said so.
Oh. So
then, when you're Maisha Nefesh and you're willing to die for something,
she thought that this was the plan.
You could say.
Oh, she thought this was her plan.
I said no. If you go into a situation where you're putting your neck on the chopping block, then you're going in knowing that in the end you could end up dying. But that's what Hashem wants. Fortunately for her, she liked the Akatavi. She lived. But you can't go in with that attitude. It won't work. Mesiras Nefesh means real Mesiras Nefesh.
You can't rely on a nace, right?
Can't rely on a nace. She's going in. This is what Hashem wants. She's obviously being put in position for this. This is her role. But she could die.
What's the point of medicine?
So she should be Metzliach.
She's telling her that you're going to do it and it's going to be Metzliach.
He didn't say it's going
to
be Metzliach without davening.
Is that
a magic pill? There's a lot more going on here beneath the surface. You're missing. Yeah, you're not seeing. I'm sorry.
No, because
he didn't say it's going to happen without davening. Or think it's going to happen without davening and fasting?
No, yesterday
he said it's going to. He said if you're willing to kill yourself and going for 3 days without eating and drinking is also as far as you can get without killing yourself. So then you're guaranteed. You do tshuva shleim, it's guaranteed. It's not a magic bullet, a magic pill.
But
it wasn't, there's no guarantees. Klal Yisrael has a guarantee they're going to survive. No individual in Klal Yisrael has a guarantee that they're going to survive. Klal Yisrael has a whole. There's going to be a... Excuse me. But no individual has a guarantee. Even Esther. And she could die. That's Rashi.
Wow.
Rashi also says, another pshat, that this is the second time she's being lost. She was ripped away from her family. Achashverosh ripped her away, so she was lost once. But she still had some kind of connection to Mordechai. She wasn't usher to her husband. Because she never went willing to Achashverosh. And now she's going to be the last strands that are holding her to what her life is are in danger of being snapped. So it's a double language, I was already ripped away from my, everything. And the only thing I had was that attachment to Mordechai, and now she runs the risk of not being able to be with Mordechai.
But is it possible the double lashon has to do with the double lashon before? Hacharosh, Tacharishi? And two can be like...
No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Cause here she's saying that she's not going to be silent. So why should not being silent be... Just because it's double doesn't mean it's shy. Alright, so she's going to go. So So she's like nice to call him Nimsaim, the ones that you could find. You know, why does she say gather all the ones you could find? What's wrong? Get all the Jews.
All the good ones.
Right, that's a teretz. That is a teretz. But Nimtzaim wouldn't be it wouldn't be indicated that Nimtzaim is more like random.
We use the same word Nimtza by the Suda.
And that wasn't the good ones. Okay.
So maybe especially take those ones.
Yes, because they're the ones that have to do tshuva. That's a good word. That's the Nimtzaim. The Vilna Gaon says Pashup Shat. She has no time. It's got to be done immediately. So you just got to grab whoever you can get. Pashup Shat. There's no time. Immediate. Oh, wow. The Rekeach says, like you said, laser. The Rekeach says, like laser says, that the ones that had enough from Akashverish Asuda, they're the ones that brought it all on Klal Yisrael. So she wants Mordecai to get a guest list from the party. And those people should fast because they're the ones that need to come up. Very good, Ishakeach. Nimtzaim, b'shushan b'tzumo alai, and fast over me. Now this is an interesting expression, fast over me. How do you fast over someone? Fast for me. Fast Hashem atzlacha. So Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, the author of the Megillah Stam, says she wanted them to include in the fast not just that she should have atzlacha. This is the Megillah Stam. Tzuma alai means fast for me. Not fast for Klal Yisrael. Fast for me. Fast over me. That she shouldn't be taken by Achashverosh against, you know. She shouldn't be taken by him and violated by him.
Why does the whole Klal Yisrael care if she gets violated? I mean, I'm saying in the overall picture, not like...
Do you know that Shimon and Levi destroyed an entire... Two people took on an entire city... And you know, they took their lives in their hands to destroy an entire city and wipe them out because Dina was taken against her.
Dina was her sister.
This is the whole.
Why should Klai so fast that she shouldn't be?
But the whole point is that she's supposed to sacrifice herself to give Klai.
Her life is fast. Sacrificing her life is a lot easier for her to tolerate than for her to sacrifice her soul. Her soul, her Olam Haba, forever. Let's get what's at risk over here.
That's one of the pshatim that we said by Mordechai when he first told her to go.
Mordechai said that
it doesn't matter, and you're not doing it.
Yeah. Do you have a problem with understanding why Esther wouldn't want to do that?
I can understand.
She's
why.
Doing it.
Right. I can understand.
And why she wouldn't want to take measures to avoid it. It's Tuma.
I know, but it doesn't seem to be consistent with what Miguel is trying to tell
her. Well, Mordechai is saying that Alpidin, this is what she's kind of to do. Alpidin, even if she's going to be Matama herself, she's going to do it. And Esther doesn't want to.
Yeah, she can avoid the situation.
So if they fast for 3 days,
maybe she
saves Klal Yisrael without her becoming Matama, so that's what she wants with every fiber of her being. You know, I once knew someone. I'll leave out any names of places, but there's a place where they found some kind of heter. I'm not endorsing it, but they had some kind of heter. To have they found some kind of heter to have a patrol on Shabbos, to have a vehicle patrolling on Shabbos, which is driven by a Jewish person, for security reasons. Now, it's not the rice, it's the rabbanon, it's a grumma jeep. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's a grumma jeep, it's battery power, they don't have to do anything. It's, you know, you disengage the brake and it goes, and then you engage the brake and it stops, and they work it out that it's operating at full power all the time. They worked it out, all the technology is in place, so there's no Yisurim D'Oraisa, there's Yisurim D'Rabbanan. They did it, but everyone has to take a turn, you know, a Shabbos, they have a rotation. And there's a guy that his teenage kid, he was crazy about driving. His father never let him drive his car. And when the father's turn came up to take the Shmirah, then the kid volunteered to do it because this way he could drive a car. And the father took him up on it because he didn't want to do it on Shabbos because he didn't like doing Shmira on Shabbos. And I said, this kid's crazy. This kid is not a Shem of Shabbos. Because now that he has a heter, and his, I don't know if it's mutter or not, I'm just saying, but he, you know, his rabbi says he has a heter. So now he goes full foot. Ah! Now I'm going to enjoy driving a car on Shabbos. That's not Jewish. That's not a Jewish way of thinking. If you're going to do it, and it's not by no means clear that it's mutter, then you do it. You do it. I'm very happy that I could save people's lives, and then, you know, but you do it with a heavy heart. Esther was consumed with this. She was consumed. Maybe we can't relate to it because we have so much time inside of ourselves that the thought of becoming Tamei is, we know it's wrong, but it's like something spilling on your sutures just when you got it back from the dry cleaners. Okay, you know, I'm happy about it, but I'm not. The whole world's not over. To Esther, the world is over. And Esther wasn't just stomp somebody. Esther was the tzaddikus that was supposed to save all of Klal Yisrael. So when someone like that becomes Tamei, that's a tumah in all of Klal Yisrael. It's not just her own personal fortunes that are plummeting. You know, the idea, we're very happy that we have a tzaddik around like that because the entire Klal Yisrael is elevated. So if that tzaddik is defiled, then the entire Klal Yisrael just went down. So the entire Klal Yisrael has to face it. Shouldn't happen. Now let me know if that's not clear. And then the Megillas Tam adds something, which might, you know, he adds something like a solid hit, I would say. If she becomes Tamei, so then you're also running the risk that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to bring the Geula through somebody that's not on a high spiritual level. To be the one, to be the catalyst, to bring the Geula, so then you have to be on a high spiritual level. If she's defiled, she's Tamei, so perhaps the whole thing isn't going to work. Even though you're right, Alpi Halacha Mordechai says that she has to go, even though that might happen. But she had this fear that she won't be worthy. And I'm just in awe of what she was thinking of at the time. She's thinking, she's about to lose everything. She could lose her life, she could lose her Tahara, she could lose her Chiluk Alam Haba, lose her husband. And what's she thinking of? That if he's Matama her, it's not a personal fortune that's at stake. So then she won't be worthy of being the one to bring the Gula. This isn't human. This is not human. This is Lamala Midrach HaTev. It's Lamala and Lamala. And that's why Hashem picked her. The Targum adds to this, you know, when she said Kachavadati Avadati, double expression. I'm destroyed from everything in this world. I'm destroyed from you. You know, she might be married to Mordechai. She might be able to be mutter to him, but she doesn't live with him in his house. She's destroyed from everything in this world. She says, I know that it's possible I'm going to lose my Kailuk Alam Haba. She says, I'll only know that after I do it. And she's willing to do it. When she's saying Kasharavadati Avadati, she was expressing that she's willing to do it. She's willing to give up her chaluk in this world and her chaluk in Alam Haba to save Klal Yisrael. She's willing to give up everything. That she'll never have a chaluk in Alam Haba. And she'll do it. Because Klal Yisrael is more important than her chaluk in Alam Haba.
Yeah, why would she lose her chaluk in Alam Haba? Isn't this like a very small sort of thing?
If you understand what a chet is, that it's very, very deep levels, so then you see that it's just not so simple. It's just not so simple. And she didn't know. Now, Lamaisa, she didn't end up having relations with him. Which means that it would have done something to her. Because if it wouldn't have done anything to her, so why not? That would have been in the Mahalach, you know? It didn't happen. The Rekach just gives us a remiss at the end. She says, Gam and even Arasai Atsum came. Me and my maidens, We're gonna fast so. Cain, we're gonna fast so. Uvechein of him, we're gonna fast so. The pasuk wouldn't have been complete if she wouldn't have added the word so. We're gonna fast so. We're gonna fast so. It's poetic license.
Similarly.
So the Rekach says that the gematria of the word Cain is 70. And he brings a medrash rabbah. That Haman sent out his letters, and we know it's in those letters. And then Mordechai sent out his letters later on. And those letters were our salvation. The Medrash Rabbah says there were exactly 70 days between Haman's letters and Mordechai's letters. So Rekach reads the pasuk, me and my maidens, we're going to fast. And what's going to be the result of our fast? Cain. Then in 70 days from now, the results of our fast are going to be...
She thought she was done.
It's called a nevuah ktana. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts words in the mouths of nevi'os, and they don't even know themselves what it is. Because when a Kadosh Baruch Hu changes nature, first he starts preparing the ground for it by letting, at least verbally, it should come into this world. And then once in this world verbally, so then it becomes actualized later. And here's where it is.
So we'll go that in 70 days...
Mordechai's letter is at some came. Okay, I wanted to finish the parak today, but we're just going to have to wait for that. Call 2.
Okay. Okay.